giving honor to God, who's the head of our house, thanking him for his many blessings and all he's done for us. And Blackstreet would like to share all he's given us with you.
Jesus is real. Yes, he is real to me. More precious than silver. More precious than diamond rings or anything that I could give him. It wouldn't be the thing. It's good to know the love inside from him. It guides me through. And it ain't good to know he's true.
To do is trust in him and never doubt. He'll always be there for you. He'll never let you down. And I believe in that, cause I'm a living witness to this, y'all. Cause without God, my life would be nothing. So if you believe in what I'm saying, I want y'all all to come on and repeat after me. I know the Lord is real.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave his life, he sacrificed, just to save my soul. Come on, y'all, I know the Lord.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave us all his blessings.
He gave us all his blessings.
It was 2,000 years ago.
2,000 years.
Now come on, y'all, help me sing the song.
Hear him and warn us to be prepared. And I can tell you what I'm encountering. I mean, I'm not surprised that I run into unprepared unbelievers. I'm surprised when I run into unprepared Christians, you know. It's something you have to caution yourself about. Don't let this, you're supposed to balance this life. Don't give nothing should have greater priority than God. Nothing. We're going to talk a little bit about that today because that is essentially what we are here to learn, to prioritize, you know, how to be accountable to God and how to utilize the gifts and blessings that he has given us to glorify his name. Amen. Hallelujah. But amen, I'm giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. That is the inclusion of the Lord God, Jehovah. Amen. Jesus and the blessed Holy Ghost. And I just thank God for him. Amen. And Pastor Overall. Amen. Joel Overall, my producer. Amen. His lovely wife, Sheila. And amen. And the Runner for Christ Ministries. And amen, my friends and sisters at Word of Faith and Great Faith, amen, that I've known for decades, and I just thank God for them because it's getting thin for me. You know, I'm losing friends. I just found out one of my friends left, didn't let me know, but amen, praise God, I'll see him later. Amen, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, think about this. Do you know where we're headed? We are headed to the place where we will use 100% of our minds and have a body that doesn't have any issues with it. I mean, think about that. Nobody has that. Okay, young and old, you know, we suffer some things down here, but that one thing about it, I'm sure that Job went through a whole lot, a tremendous amount. It's been appreciating these last 2,500 years without problems, you know, being able to travel the universe and being able to be sitting right in the presence of the Father, the Son, and I mean, you can't beat that. There's nothing to beat that. Nothing on earth beats that. This little stuff that we chase around for, that people are sacrificing their life for, some sex and some money and some alleged power, it ain't worth giving. I'm not giving up my eternity for that. Amen. But let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Let's put this thing in order. Put it before the God, for the Lord God, our Creator. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, and we do praise you, and we do bless you for the honor and the privilege of the revelation of you, because we could not mentally ascend to you. You're beyond the imagination of man. Man could not invent you. If you did not exist, he would not think of you because you are off the mental charts of all mankind. Father God, we ask you right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding, and we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and magnificent, exceedingly great power that you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you. And we thank you that more revelation in that area is coming forth. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your most serious intent, we call your will, and give us the courage and strength to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're continuing until I get further instructions. I don't know. Because pretty much the gospel is the gospel. The word of God is the word of God. And it all leads to the same thing. It should be leading you to a closer relationship with God. The whole purpose of this session, all these sessions that I teach, is to lead you to a clearer, closer understanding of God. I've sat up under some of the greatest teachers that have walked the earth, even in this modern day, and I'm passing on to you what they have passed on to me. You know, and there's the very few things that God has given me that wasn't given to me before. But, you know, sometimes the way something is expressed might ring truer to you than the way it was said before. I've had that happen to me. You know, this is why we know those of us that have been around a while know that sometimes we'll hear the word taught by somebody and it's like we just heard it, even though we've probably read it 10 times before. Because, again, I think of it as a puzzle, you know, the old school puzzle where you had it in pieces and you put it together. The longer, the more pieces you get, the more clear the picture is. And in this case, it's the preparation of the God-man and the God-woman to serve eternally in the kingdom of God with access, power beyond that is presently known to mankind. It can be seen in the Bible, and so much, it's so fantastic that you'll find people that they call highly intelligent but low in wisdom think that it's a fantasy. But even though they deny the very things that they see, their existence should tell them that there's something greater. You know, I mean, come on now. You again, I remind you, we come out of our father, 100 million sperm, and then emerged from our mother with a body that was built with 78 organs consisting of 200 different types of cell types, and it forms a body. Now, this was built autonomically by your spirit that God gave Adam. That's why we come the way it do. And this is why I don't always come out perfect, because I know God initially created man and through Adam, and he is responsible for man as creation. But when we get a body that don't quite meet the standard of God, which is perfection, that tells you that God wasn't directly involved. As far as I know, he was directly involved with two people, and that was with Adam, the first Adam, and with Jesus. Other than that, I mean, there are very few. Now, he have oversaw many births because they had a designation, an assignment in life, and he made sure they came despite Satan's attempts to stop them. He's making major attempts now to stop people. And this is what all this abortion is about. That's his delusion. But, okay, so the key is you can look at society and see how badly we need to understand God's perception of how to manage power. I mean, Christianity, there should be just Christians. I mean, it shouldn't be varied denominations of Christianity. But, you know, this is not a democracy. A lot of people die and find out that they voted wrong, and fortunately, God let them into heaven, but I'm sure he corrected them. You know, because you don't get you what his word is what his word is. And I choose to stick to the word. Okay, I ain't got to argue that before God. I ain't got to explain that before him. I'll try my best to do only what his word say. Jesus said he only said what the Father said, and he only did what he saw the Father do. Now, so we're talking about today, we're still talking about power and love. This is session 8, and we're going to go into some things about how to manage your individualism. You know, and bring it to a collectivism in God. You know, see, Satan has corrupted those terms, and as a result, people tend not to want to use them because generally they reflect some man-made ideology like communism and Marxism, which they're bringing forth again. It ain't going to work. It didn't work before. It won't work. I heard the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee once say, any system will work with God. No system works without God. And that's what Jesus said. He said, all things are possible. We think is if they come up with something and then they ask God to bless it, that he automatically going to be involved in. And the evidence speaks to the contrary. Okay, because they come up with stuff that just don't work because they started asking God about it, but they did not keep him in the program as it began to go forth. That's what happens. Like democracy, it will work if they keep God in it, but they don't, because the world won't allow all this division. That's of the devil, period. But see, because it's divide and conquer. But that's what he does. Now, again, the only way you would know that is occurring is if you have knowledge of the word, that it is occurring. There's no other way around that. And so when you have so many people in authority that have zero knowledge of the word of God and think that that is normal, that's okay, because God hasn't killed them. You know, that's why you have a society headed in the direction that we have, and that's why all the turmoil is steadily increasing. All right, so let's get with our primary base scripture, and that's found in John chapter 13, verse 34, and it is Jesus saying, a new commandment, reading from the New King James Version, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know, it's a new commandment, but you know that's been the principle all along, you know, from day one. And the reason it didn't manifest is that it, throughout the Bible, as I just stated previously, if you leave God out of your decision-making process, you're going to end up with a chaotic situation, okay? Now, we're going to go back and all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. And this is after the flood. And let's try this, okay? And it's a situation known as the Tower of Babel. Now, this is, again, it shows you what you see now. Now, some of you may hear, if you're listening to the different ministers, and they're talking about AI as being the Tower of Babel 2.0. Actually, it's 5.0. I know a lot of y'all never seen Frankenstein, but Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein is this movie, this fiction movie where this doctor thinks that he can create a body, build a body, and put life into it. Well, see, that's not possible. But when you read about AI, which is in Revelation chapter 13, also known as the image of the beast, that mindset comes from wanting to be separate from God. See, you have God's nature, particularly Christians. You know, you have God's nature, but you have to make it be subject to God. As you read in Isaiah chapter 14, you hear Satan wanting to be like God, not be under God. And you'll find when you meet an atheist, that's a common thought that they have, that they don't want to be subject to a God they can't see. They think God should do things their way, despite the fact that they're going to die. They have such limitations. They can't account for the next 5 minutes, but yet they somehow think God should be adherent to them because their daddy got their mama pregnant and brought them here in ignorance. That doesn't obligate God to be less than he is. He's God. He is never going to step down from being God. And if you don't agree with that, drink a lot of water, because where he has a sign for people that don't agree with that, it's called hell. Read that in Revelation chapter 20. Now, actually, that's the lake of fire. That's another whole level. Okay? But, so let's read this. Again, this is after the flood. Now, mind you, the flood came because what? Rebellion. Much of what you see today, they didn't have satellite TV televising all this filth, and you're seeing an increase of the same thing, because Satan hasn't changed. Why? We haven't changed. Nobody's changed. God ain't changed. Man ain't changed. The devil ain't changed. Only thing that has changed is the methodology we do things through technology that they did not do back then. Okay? And I said the whole The whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and break them thoroughly. And they had bricks of stone, and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, and lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. Now, again, this is people born. This is what happened, all right? In the first six chapters of the Bible, you had the fall, you had the creation of man, you had the fall of man, and then you had the destruction of man because he in that 2,000-year period, he managed to get so distant from God. He became very belligerent in his attitude, hateful toward God. The few religious leaders that God had brought about, many of them have become corrupted, but that's another issue. I don't want to get into that. And so you see that pattern emerge throughout the Bible. When the religious leaders start turning against God, that's pretty much a major tale that God getting ready to close the show. And you're seeing that now. You know, it's sad that Satan, he tends to pervert a good thing. You know, it's the will of God for us to prosper. For it said, I would that you should prosper in 1 John and be in health, even as you're scared. But then now some people are so focused on the prosper that they forget the prosperer. I just made another new word. I want credit for that. And that is the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. They want to be worshipped. You know, you see that when you find employers that have billions of dollars sitting idle and underpaid employee, which is being addressed now. That's a issue in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. What that going to result in, I don't know. We're going to see it pan out. But see, it ain't their money. I just read a commentary about that. Somebody said they haven't seen any U-Hauls attached to any hearses taking it to the graveyard. You don't even own your body. And in case you haven't noticed, if you've never been to a funeral, and I just met somebody that never has, you don't even take your body. Everything's on loan to you, okay? And how you get this delusion? Well, see, the advantage we have in our time is that we have had the Bible with its history, and we see the whole thing played out. We had it written out for us. You see, they didn't have Revelation chapter 12, and they didn't know that there was a rebellion in heaven and Satan got kicked out. They didn't even know he was around because they had him. He was allowed to play trick games back then that he can't play right now because of the Holy Spirit. You know, he would manifest as a god and mislead them, and they'd sucker up to it. And this is what's going on here. See, you got to understand, look at this engineering aspect that they has developed, because that's in our nature. Okay, God would, he don't mind us progressing. What he have an issue is when we think we so smart, we don't need him. And that's where the trouble starts. See, now, if we get to it today, we will, and I believe we're going to start on it. But I want you to get this because, you know, we often call these people, I've never met a genius or heard of a genius that believed in God. You know, they just think they know all the answers. Until I would love to be able to confront one and say, how you going to avoid dying? What's your plan for that? And see, they're the ones that convince themselves that my body is me and that I'm not running a body. But see, they've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't know what I know, because you can't learn what I know by a book. You got to go through it. See, like I said, I got God on the inside, and I'm fully aware of who I am in Christ. Believe me. And then, see, in Christ is not Jesus' last name, you know. All right. Now, we're going to read a little bit more here, going up to verse 5 in Genesis chapter 11. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. This is why they began to do, and this is what they began to do. Now, listen at this part. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down. Let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's. All right? And so he changed the language, and that broke down the communication, and they scattered all over the world. Now, and this is the deep part. You know, I remember having a conversation. Now, this atheist thinking that he didn't outsmart me, telling me that language, that genetics have nothing to do with language. Now, what I had told him is that French blood was that O positive, and Japanese O positive, and American O positive is interchangeable. There's no needed process. You can they can all interchange blood, but they don't speak the same language. Now, how did that happen? Okay. God changed the mathematical function capability of the brain. He knows how to do that. You know, it really astounds me when I meet people and they have three-year-olds that can speak two languages and I can only speak one. Actually, I can speak two because I can speak in tongues. But anyway, and even that, I mean, think about what goes on. But what is happening is my spirit is sending signals to my brain. My brain is responding to the signals sent from my spirit and discharging them to the muscles that are needed to perform the action that I desire. Understand that when you come up out of this body, you're at 100%. So all that capability magnifies too. And you can't, God won't, I'll just put it like that, God is not going to give that to a person he doesn't trust. And there's a lot of territory. The rapture is going to disappoint a lot of Christians because they have their versions of Christianity as though there's some type of democracy. You know, Ecclesiastes 8:11, you need to write it down and remember. It says, because sentence against an evil deed is not fully responded to, fully judged, quickly judged, man continues in his way. Now, that means that you can't go by the fact that God is extending great mercy in your ignorance that you are right. Because you need to know all that's going to come up in your judgment is his word. What did his word say? And if you stand there each time saying, I didn't read it. You know, I mean, you're dangerous because if you don't know God's word, you don't know God. That means he is insignificant, just plain and simple. So that you're telling him how significant he is, how significant his plans is, how significant his will is by your lack of knowledge of the word. It means nothing to you. Now, you know, think about how you would feel. People with children stand that. Who would reward a child that never does anything they told to do? I know I would. I know I wouldn't. No, I would not. So I don't understand why people can't see that simple reality. But, you know, and I found out when I started reading the word that the Holy Spirit was reading with me and explaining things and showing me things as I read through it. And then it really became fascinating to me. You know, but at the same time, by my first completion of the Bible, I realized that I could not just trust men to tell me the whole truth. So, you know I listen to my brother and my pastor, and one thing I'll say about them, they'll tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly about the Word of God. They're just the messenger. But the whole point is so that you will correct yourself when you are out of the will of God. Because that right there allows you to feel secure in accessing the power of God beyond yourself. And you're going to need that because now they're talking about this new virus. You see the pattern. The same pattern I saw back in 2020, around September, they started talking about the Wuhan virus. And then by the end of the year, that thing was gone full-fledged, and it started to spread all over the world. And listen, they plan to depopulate. You can't forget what Satan is up to. Even right now, September 18th or 19th, they're having a meeting in New York City, it's 2023, to decide how to control the world. Anyway, it's called the Sustained Development Goals. Their plan is not going to be complete, I can tell you that. So we're in a really a challenging situation, but understand, God is a fully aware of everything. Now, this is where people get caught up or messed up, is that they assume God is going to do something. No. He empowered us. Remember we read what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Jesus said, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have power. You don't empower somebody and then you're going to do everything. This is why a lot of people suffer unnecessary consequences, because they detach from God. They just think they got fire insurance and they won't go to hell, but they forget that they don't know the will of God. All right. Now, these people here in Genesis chapter 11 did not have what I have. You know, again, I remind you, I remember when the first prophetic word that God was going to another level, and the statement didn't seem deep. It said that fence-riding Christians, them days are over. But, you know, the deep part was when that was said the first time, Holy Spirit inside of me said, the training wheels are off. So that means that I have to go for what I know. And again, I've been taught and understand how this functions. You know, I know what God is responsible for and what he's not. He's responsible for what I can't do. Now, again, that goes back to the word of what I can do. See, that's what this is about. You know, you can't be, in other words, I can't be a prayerless Christian. I can't be a non-confession of the word of promise Christian. I can't rob God. And really with tithe, I think the best expression I ever heard was this: it's a heart issue, you know, of love for God. And I realize people aren't in a position, new people aren't in a position to tithe, but work your way to that. Talk with God, amen, and keep your promise, okay? Talk with God to get out of debt, bring your debt down to the point, because you don't want your children going without food and you losing your home. I've seen that happen to people, and if he blessing you, I don't get this, he blessing you up to the point that you get saved, and you didn't even know him, you was his enemy, why would he all of a sudden become hostile after you come to Christ? I don't get it. If he's patient and merciful, waiting for you to get saved, I think he'll be patient and merciful after you get saved. That's just my opinion, because that's how I did it. I'm going to tell you, I worked up to that place. It just didn't make sense to me. I just didn't, hey, if he was patient with me while I was out there stealing and drugging and sexing and everything else, while I'm trying to do right, I just couldn't see him being impatient. Okay, but anyway. But again, that's just an issue. The point of the matter is you're seeing man. It's natural. We have an intelligence that comes from God. And he's saying, look, you can't manage this without me. Now we're going to go to some other scriptures to get into this. This is deep stuff. If you sit down and go over this with God, he'll show you some deeper stuff. It'll tell you, I could spend some time on that. But let's connect this. So the remedy to that is seeking God. Okay, now let's go to Isaiah. We're going to do a little bit of old and new. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. And this is out of the KJV, but it's pretty much, it's to seek you the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Now, with us, we got a great advantage over them. One, he's inside us. That's what Christian means, God inside. He is not inside everybody. James 1:12 makes it clear. It says, as many as received him, those are the children of God. He gave power. He gave authority to become the children of God. Now, you go back to the headline scripture, and Jesus takes it and explains that your mindset needs to become my mindset in relation to your behavior to one another. All right? So, but now how are you going to do this? Now, you can go all the way back. Let's go back to the garden and think about this. Adam was visited by God every day. God gave him specific instructions. See? You know, he could have. He already knew to cut the devil off right then when he said you can eat of this tree. He should have cut him off, but he didn't. Okay, and I gave him leeway because he was not omniscient. And we don't have a time frame on how long he had been around. We know it was long because I think Adam was over about 900 years old before he passed off the scene. But here, if this is printed here, let me tell you, it was already in God's heart for it to be that way. It shows throughout history that man has this continuity of wanting to be his own person and seeing, and actually God could tell, even though he told Adam what not to do, Adam didn't know that what death was. I mean, as far as he know, that might mean a new fruit, a new tree. Or you know, he might have turned a different color. He had no clue because he had no experience. But us, on the other hand, have had experience. See, and I'm of the mindset, based on a commentary of an event of a person who went on a tour, God took, or a blessed man of God that God took on a tour of heaven and saw people being taught. Particularly, he said Abraham was a teacher of faith, which I can believe that. But that is my acronym for faith, this fervent action in trusting him. Okay? That means you committed to doing what God say do, how he say, when he say. Now, guess where Adam went off? Now, being that we come out of our mother's womb, strangers, visitors here, okay, having to learn our way, and it is incumbent upon parents to teach the children about God, but it's incumbent upon the individual to do what he says here in Isaiah, okay? Seek him while he is near, because what would cause him not to be near is sin, because God is not going to dwell in an unclean environment. People can live like they want to be. They can, and see, a matter of fact, let's read verse 7. That was Isaiah 55:6. It said, let the wicked, 55:7, said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. I mean, you know, matter of fact, this is deep. Because in verse 8 it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. You know, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, you got to attend to God. Now, again, we have an advantage that these saints did not have. They had to rely on a prophet that was being honest. The prophets spent time with God. God communicated with them, gave them the revelation, and then they had to abide by it. We have, and I get it, that some pastors are crooked as two left shoes, but, you know, that's what we had a word. You know, I'm amazed that people follow crooked people with the Bible around, and then they'll reject the Bible so that they can't think they'll feel justified before God in that avenue. I don't get that. You know, I knew I was going to be. It's some things that just became, I just became aware of when God gave me the revelation that he is. Amen. But see, again, you got this impetus here. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. You got to seek him. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 16:11. Okay. This is just different time frames, but I want you to see the continuity of what we're doing. It says in verse 11, 1 Chronicles 16:11, it says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Now, again, you got to spend time. It may seem like it's not that deep to sing praises unto God and to worship him at home by yourself without a thousand people around you or 100 people, depending on where you go in fellowship at. But it is important to God. It is the same as any other personal relationship, particularly men and women. They should understand that, you know. That's what it's about, because it's intimate to God. You know, song that I was singing today, and that God gave me, the Holy Spirit gave me that song. It wasn't even a song they ever sang in church, but and it's not a very deep song, but it is a worship song. And I can tell you know one thing about it: when you catch his attention, he'll show up, and you can't deny his presence. You know. You know, and it's marvelous. And again, I remind you that whenever you sense the presence of God, listen, I'm telling you, he didn't drop something in your spirit that's either for now, the future, or, you know, or erase something, heal something, deliver something. That's a reason to spend time in the presence of God, because he'll heighten your awareness. You know, it's a big issue now over the issue of the day of the rapture. Well, he told us God alone know that, but at the same time he said in John 16:13, that the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said that day shall not come upon you as a thief. And then Jesus, look at the details. He said that no man know the day or the hour. Now, he left out week, month, and year. I think Jesus chose his word. I don't think he just decided. He just was flipping some stuff off. He was being specific. Why? Because, you know, I just saw something that I'm not an eschatologist, which is a person that's been called to study the end times, that God show and detail things. But their job is to prepare us so that we will know. And I've always held the mindset that as we get close, God will tell us. I never believed that it would just come up on us and blank, we don't know. We will be, look at the world, inside your little environment and see what's going on. They just had in September 2023 in the nation of Libya, 20,000 people killed in a sudden flood. Well, there's a lot of reasons behind that, but I'm praying for the saints over there, because there's got to be at least one Christian in that group. But the point of the matter is, it's not going to get better. It's going to get extremely worse, okay? So if you don't believe that and you hope it's something different, you don't believe what the Bible says in Revelation 5-19. But anyway, I don't have to be concerned. Matter of fact, as Jesus said, when you see all this happen, rejoice, because your redemption draws near. He's coming to get us. So I don't have to fear. My job is, I do what I've been doing. I'm praying for the unsaved to get saved, praying for the saved to stay saved. That's my job. I pray every day, which is another thing. How do you don't face God empty-handed? Your prayers count. I don't know if I know I touched on that in some of my other series on prayer. You know, in the book of Revelation, I believe chapter 7, it mentions the prayers of the saints. You know, God collects them. You know, and I mean, it means something to him, because it's saying, I love you and I love what you're doing. See, this is what Jesus is talking about. See, and again, you go back to what he said, that is love. See, prayer is driven by love, agape love. Now, again, we went through agape love. It isn't just about what I feel like praying or feel like you deserve it. That is the issue. I've come to grow to understand that a person that don't know God and isn't committed to God got something broke in their spirit. That's just all it is. Now, the only person that can fix that is God, but he doesn't fix it until his royal priesthood comes to him about the issue. You know, I'm praying. God showed me something that the other day that is, that got in my mind. When Abraham was visited by God and the angels, and God stayed back and talked with Abraham, and Abraham tried to negotiate over the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the angels went on. Now, what caught my attention was the fact that, see, we're talking, again, this is related to this power issue. We're talking about a realm that is beyond our imagination. Now, mind you, so there's a distinction there in that fact that Abraham and God were talking, all right? But now they made a statement, and I've read this since, I mean, I'm talking about going back to the 70s, and it said we came down to see if what we heard was true. Now think about that. See, there's again that continuity. Who brought the attention to their issue? Who brought the issue to their attention? Okay, that means that somebody somewhere prayed about what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God came down. Because, see, and so the issue of God coming down goes back to Genesis 1:26, God gave man dominion. See, I get what people are saying, and I get it because I had a conversation with God. I'm like, you're omniscient. How did you not know that? Okay, why that came up? See, he gave man dominion, and God stepped back. See, these are things you need to understand when you're empowered of God. There are things you need to know and about that aspect, because you will be under the impression that God, you just stand back and God's going to do everything. No, because you are here to learn. He already know how to be God. He don't have to go through 1,000 years of training. We do. That'd be an easier life. But think about that. He could have skipped that and went straight to the New Jerusalem, but he didn't. And God does everything with a reason. And again, I remind you, we are using 15% of our man, some less, some more. But look at the chaos the world is in at 15%, and what you don't have in action. What the chaos is, there's no love. It's plain and simple. You know why 350 million Christians are being murdered and persecuted? No love. They say they all believe in the same God. No. Then what did Jesus? That goes back. Jesus only said what the Father said. He said, by this shall all men know that you have learned how to walk with God. Okay? That's what a disciple is. He seek to learn to walk with God. All right? So this is, like I say, here in First Chronicles, that time period, same thing. He says, seek the Lord. I want to go to another one. Psalms 105:4. Then we're going to go. We're going to go wherever the Holy Ghost wants us to go. Are you getting this? See, now, let's talk about how this relates now. See, in the job, okay, like I have great admiration and support for the UAW that's on strike because they are underpaid. I get that the CEO of General Motors may think she worth $29 million, but that's a myth. She just bought into the myth. Because in all actuality, all they've given her is the key to man's kingdom, okay? They say that she could buy $29 million worth of man's stuff. That has no indicator. That's right, not indicative of God. It really ain't. Because if you don't have what a drug dealer don't have, you really ain't got anything. And if you try to go to a bank and withdraw it, they'll let you know. They'll give you a check, That was the beginning of the cashless society. They give you a check, but you ain't getting no cash. See, you ain't gonna get to do what you want. Cause you gotta understand the money system and how it works. They just saying, hey, you go to a restaurant with this card and they're gonna let you have food. You go to a car dealership, they're gonna let you have a car. But you ain't walking around with no cash. See, that's the myth. And see, and this is the thing that tells God what you will do with 100% power. Okay? Psalm 106, 105, verse 4, and you should read, if you're into buying property, you should read verse 44. You know, read the rest of it. Anyway, where we at? Okay. 104, 105. Verse 4. Again, you got that word. Matter of fact, let's look at that word. All right. It's the word darash. It says resort, to seek with care, to inquire. This is in Hebrew, as a matter of fact. Let me make that plain to y'all. To consult, to inquire, to seek of God. Now, and that's anyway, it says properly, diligently to inquire, to make inquisition. And, you know, my journey began by simply asking God to show me the way. You know, show me the way. He had to find somebody that would tell me the way, show me the way. And then it was up to me to make a decision. It wasn't up to the young man that spoke to me. For him to grab me by the hand and take me and convince me, he just told me where it was happening at. And it was up to me to make a decision to go to a church. So I think it was a Monday night, November 16, 1976. And speaking God, I didn't have a clue what was going on. I did not know what to expect. Matter of fact, I'm going to be honest, I didn't expect anything. I was kind of hoping anything. I probably had a third of a mustard seed of faith, if that much. Okay? And God gave me his greatest gift he can give any person, and that is his Holy Spirit in a great way. And that changed everything. And I've been on this journey ever since. People said I wouldn't make it 3 weeks. It's been over 43, 45, 6, 7 years, whatever, 48 years. It's been a long time. It's been interesting. I've been up, been down, and I've learned. And I can tell you, the time that I was went down, most of the time it wasn't seeking God beforehand. Okay, that takes some work and some effort. But again, the whole point is, that's what this life is about. I'm learning to manage my spirit under any circumstances. So don't expect this to be heaven. This is not heaven. It is earth, and you're going to have challenges. You are going to rise. That's why the devil exists, to challenge you. You know, he jumped ahead of the gun. He didn't want to be under God's rule. So, but God, rather than just throw him away because he knew he was going to need him anyway to do what he do, or he would have had somebody else's sign. And this is what he do. God can't deceive. God can't lie. He don't steal. You know, so, you know, he ain't going to put us up to none of that. You know, God is not going to tell you to steal from your employer because he is underpaying you. God going to tell you to pray daily for them till they get their mind right, because they don't realize what belongs to God. And they just stewards over it. They just threw it over. But anyway, so that you got a word here that says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Seek, that's a working word. That's an effort. Take some time. Okay, again, it ain't deep that God let the devil exist. You know, I just wanted to know why. Okay, because God don't do those things. You know, I believe in Numbers 20. 3:19, it said God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And in Hebrews, it says it's one immutable thing. God cannot lie. So how you going to, you know, for me to know what a liar is, you know, and in Numbers chapter 22, God sent a lie, louder angel to go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets of Baal. See, there's a connection there. But when I first read that was kind of confusing. You know what I'm seeing there? God sitting there saying, who's going to go and deceive, get Ahab together? And this angel said, I'll go, and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophet. And the Lord said, okay, you're going to go, and you're going to succeed. Now, you would think God was setting up Ahab, but the point of the matter is, Ahab, you'll reach a point, you know, of what they call no return. and you working against God, and he's trying to bless you, and at any moment you read that he will abundantly pardon you, he'll let himself get caught up in idolatry, much of which you see today, and as a result, he wound up dying. You know, that happens, and it's going to happen. See, that's why death exists. It sets a limit. You know, you can talk stuff, but everybody reaches that point. I saw two billionaires today, I believe, and I'm looking at them, and they're old and decrepit. They can't do none of what they used to do, you know. But, you know, I pray for them because they need to understand what God, how God sees things. Abraham, I would say, was a billionaire. But the difference was the commentary that I read of the people that worked for him, they thought very highly of him. He took care of them. And the fact that you see him in Luke chapter 16 in Paradise versus Diabetes, who's over in Hades, still there today, 3,500 years later, and going to the lake of fire, it ain't that God don't want people to be rich, but there is a order. And if you don't seek God, I don't care, man. And the more education you have, the more you better see God. Solomon, when he asked God for wisdom, that was after he graduated college. Because wisdom, which my pastor's doing a series on, is the right use of information. If you don't have the right use of information, you're really a dummy. But, you know, you got a bunch of information, and you see that. You see that. Because if you lack the proper use of it. And how do you get that? We're going to talk about that next week. Well, we can say it right now. Seek the Lord and his strength and his faith forevermore. His face is really that there's, it's like you see my face, you know it's me, you know it's a behavior that goes with that. See, that's the key to that. There's a behavior that goes with his face. Okay, this is the way of God, and you want to be smiling, all right, so we're at the end of this session, which is session 8. God is moving right along, and maybe we'll be here next week, and if not, I'll see you in heaven, but this may be the first time you're seeing this, before or after the rapture, I don't know, but we're in that time zone, but there's a first thing, first place to see God is through salvation, through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's the simplest of the processes. All you have to do is follow me in this prayer. Lord God in heaven, I believe you are the only true God. I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe what it says, that we were all born in sin. But I also believe that you sent your son to die for our sin. And he died, rose from the grave, and is alive now. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved and I am born again. And if you've been coming back to the Lord, you simply say, Lord God, I ask forgiveness for my sin. I was deceived by the devil, and I'm coming back to you. And I ask for forgiveness, and I receive it, and I believe it right now in Jesus' name, according to your word. You know, you're going to use that a lot. So remember that. 1 John 1:9. You're going to use, trust me, you're going to use it. Because what? And God is found, I believe it's Matthew 18:10, we know that God is found a guardian angel with you, but he's one. Okay, but he also signed the devil. And then you're going to take some time learning the word. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you mess up, just don't debate. Do two things. Ask God for forgiveness and ask him how to overcome it. He'll teach you. That's what we're here. We're here to learn. We're here to teach. I answer all emails that I get, all the questions, all the time, you know. regardless of the question, whether it's biblically related, if I have the information, or I'll direct you to the information. Because I'm here. This is what God assigned me to do. He spent some 40-some years preparing me for just this. You know, we think at the beginning, I learned that. You think at the beginning that that's where it begins, but no, God begins with preparation. Preparation is never lost time. So notice that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Yes. Yes.
Said I woke up to the summer, shining through, calling on my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart.